who they learned was called Diego Cala, was stripped to shirt sleeves, waiting patiently by the starboard rail. Neither of the fighters bothered with seconds, though a young officer stood nervously between them to observe fair play. The other man, who gossip reported was the bastard son of a notorious baron from Georgia, traveling under the assumed name of John Carradine Gatewood, was with some high-priced whores, seeming oblivious to the tension of the impending duel.
Betting odds are against the Mex. Seems Gatewood's already chilled better than a dozen men in fights like this. Rules of the boat says the winner gets the loser's jackpot. Kala's done well at five-card stud this afternoon.
You mean to say that the fight was provoked? That's just a sort of legalized murder and robbery. It isn't fair.
Nobody ever said life was fair, Mildred. We all know that.
Gatewood's picked swords. Look at the size of the blade he selected. Saber. Sort of a cutlass. It's a huge blade. Kala won't be able to even lift it.
Saw him with his sword. Using a rapier like Doc.
Really? That's unfair. He'll likely get butchered.
Wanna bet, Christy? I reckon the little man wins inside a minute.
Christy knew Jack's extraordinary expertise when it came to post-contact fighting.
No thanks, Jack.
Duel will begin on my signal. Any apology? No. Swords. No other weapon. I'll shoot down any man breaks the rules or interferes.
The officer waved a .32 caliber Taurus revolver in his right hand.
Ready? Start!
Only then did the crowd become aware of the discrepancy between the two men's chosen weapons. Gatewood, tall and lithe, wore a white suit with a vermilion vest that sported mother-of-pearl buttons. He held the long-bladed saber that Ryan recognized as resembling a 19th-century light cavalry officer sword. It was nearly 3 inches wide, single-edged with a needle point and a ponderous brass basket hilt. Kala, jacketless, wore a dark vest and pants over a white shirt with loose baggy sleeves. His rapier was less than an inch in width, probably Spanish in origin, several inches shorter than the saber, with a delicate silver-chased hilt.
My support is with the swordsman rather than the clumsy artisan.
Ryan's first gut reaction of the likely outcome had altered. Trader used to say that biggest and strongest was best, and it generally was. But there was also a case in this kind of combat to be made for the fast and light and deadly. Gatewood seemed reluctant to leave the blonde ladies.
Forgive me, ladies, but I shall be back soon.
Kala shuffled a couple of steps across the deck, as though he were testing out the footing, the rapier held loosely at his side, the point trailing.
Fucking get on with it!
Gatewood waved the enormous saber with a great flourish over his head, bowing and smiling, gradually edging a little closer to his much smaller opponent.
3-1 on the colonel!
Take him up, Jack. No one else is.
Ryan slipped a small bundle of folded notes to the teenager, who grabbed them and wormed his way through the crowd.
Are you ready to meet your death, my tiny amigo?
As ready as you.
Without any further warning, Gatewood was on him, swinging the massive saber with his enormous strength, aiming at the neatly parted hair. But Kala wasn't there. He ducked under the murderous blow and jinked sideways, pinking his opponent in the top of the right thigh with his whiplash rapier as he moved past him. He continued to stand with his back to the crowd, the blade trailing on the planks again. A tiny bead of crimson dripped from it onto the white wood.
Touché! Tapped his claret for him.
Gatewood backed away, rubbing a hand at the small wound.
It's nothing.
The next will not be nothing. Ha!
What happened next was so fast that even Ryan couldn't be certain just what he'd seen or who was responsible. Kala's attack brought him dangerously close to the spectators. Suddenly, a few men in the crowd surged forward around the smaller man, obscuring Kala from view.
Someone broke his blade, stamped on it. Bastards. I didn't see who.
The men smoothly faded back into the crowd and left Kala holding the hilt of his fencing sword, with only a couple of jagged inches left of the blade. His jaw dropped, and he saw his death advancing. Gatewood grinned wolfishly, moving fast, the saber half-lifted. Ryan reached for the Sig Sauer, but the sailor was swinging around with his Taurus.
No blasters! I'll chill the first man draws a blaster! It's only swords!
Dark reacted with surprising speed. He threw his own rapier toward the trapped man.
Take it! And use it with honor!
The Toledo steel caught the burning rays of the dying sun, glinting like a flash of molten blood. Diego Cala snatched at it, dropping his own sabotaged sword, and flashing a smile at Doc.
Cheating! Cheating!
sailor spun toward Doc, finding himself looking down the muzzles of five guns.
No cheating! Swords!
The officer nodded slowly and thoughtfully, then reluctantly lowered his own weapon. It was Gatewood's turn to back away as Kala raised the sword. Kala used the perfectly balanced blade like the master he obviously was. Blood streamed from Gatewood's surface wounds over the white suit, but invisible on the crimson vest. He was trying to keep up the guard of the heavy saber, but his strength was being sapped, and the end was coming.
Go in!
The saber lifted in a last, desperate attack, but Kala was in under it, arm and wrist straight in the perfect lunge. Kala twisted his hand as the blade was withdrawn.
Tell my father, the judge, that...
Get our winnings, Jack.
The six friends sat around a plain Amish table in the roulette room, each with a large crystal glass of finest imported brandy in front of them. Diego Kala stood opposite, his own balloon glass raised in his left hand, right hand still holding Doc's bloody rapier. He peered down at the delicate fluted engraving on the Toledo blade.
No me saques sin razón. No me vienes sin honor.
It means
do not draw me without good reason, and do not sheath me without honor. I hope that I followed those rules.
Indeed you did, my dear fellow. Most wonderfully well. It was an honor to watch you at work.
And you made us a fistful of Jack.
I made a small profit myself. Though, as you might expect of a mongrel like Gatewood, his appearance grossly exceeded his value. But I am well here than I was this morning.
Kala turned to Doc, offering back the rapier.
I would gladly pay a small fee for the hire of the sword doctor. No? Most kind. Perhaps you will all dine with me this evening.
Sorry. Got an invite from the captain tonight. Gotta go get ready soon.
Tomorrow?
Sure. Be glad to.
Ryan led the others through the maze of stairs and corridors to the main saloon to dine with Captain Melville Houston. The oil lamps glowed bright gold along the passages, bringing out the rich colors of the heavy padded furniture. They passed the roped-off staircase to the upper grand stateroom. Two sec men in smart suits stood alertly at the bottom of the stairs, and Ryan, glancing sideways, saw two more armed men at the top in front of a locked door. Whoever was up there ran a tight force, was seriously into keeping hold of his or her privacy. Ryan reached the dining room a little before the hour of seven. The head waiter's name was Eduardo, printed in dark Gothic lettering on a neat white card on his lapel. He was heavily built, swarthy, and dressed in a smart maroon tuxedo. He looked disdainfully at the casually dressed group, glancing down at a list on a small table.
You would be Mr. Ryan Carter and party?
We would.
If you would care to walk this way.
He led them between the half-full tables, stepping with a peculiar gait, tight at the thighs and loose at the knees, feet and polished pumps turned outward like a duck.
If we would walk that way, then we would have no need of talcum powder.
Looks to me like he's carrying a raisin between the cheeks of his ass for charity.
Eduardo appeared not to hear them, shimmering along with immense dignity, reminding Ryan of a full-rigged galleon beating against the wind. They reached a long table at the center of the room. Ryan quickly counted 12 seats down each side, with one at the head and one more at the bottom.
Here we are. Three of you on each side. It would be agreeable if the ladies could be split on either side. And you, Mr. Carter, here, close to the head. Captain Houston had expressly asked for you to be positioned near to him.
Mighty kind of him. How's he know me?
The ways of the captain of the Golden Eagle are mysteriously his own, Mr. Carter. It's not for a lowly creature like myself to question him on that sort of matter. I might find myself being towed behind the eagle over the shoals at the end of a knotted rope. Pray, take your seat, and a waiter will soon be with you to determine your pre-supper drink requirements.
Christy sat next to Ryan, with Jack next to her. JB, Mildred, and Doc Tanner picked the three seats opposite, leaving empty seats near the head and bottom of the long polished table.
First ones here, lover.
Maybe means we can be the first ones to leave. I can't say I like formal occasions.